Morning, everyone. We're going to make a wee start to our service this morning by singing together the hymn number 130. 130 is the hymn number. You'll find it on the page 228 of your hymn book. Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. The hymn number 130, standing as we sing, singing it out with all of our hearts. Just unite our hearts together in prayer, please. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we gather before thee the Sabbath morning and we come in the precious and worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the one who loved us, the one who gave himself for us upon the cross. And Father, we thank thee even for the words of this hymn of which we've been singing. We thank thee, Father in heaven, for the five bleeding wounds of Christ. We thank thee for the wounds of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. We thank thee that from those wounds was shed his precious blood. And Father, we rejoice, O God, today that there's pardon, that there's peace, that there is forgiveness, that there is eternal salvation through the precious shed blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank thee, O God, that Christ died for us, that he rose again. And Father, we thank thee that he has ascended on high into heaven's glory as our great high priest. And Father, we thank that there at thy right hand in heaven on high, he intercedes, he pleads for us at thy right hand. And oh God, we rejoice, oh God, today that we are accepted in the beloved, and him who died for us, who rose again, who prays for us in glory, who's coming back again in power and in great glory. And Father, we thank thee that we can call thee Abba, our Father. And Lord, thou art our Father who is able to supply our every need. Thou art our Father who knows our every need better than we know it ourselves. And Father, we thank thee that thou hast grace sufficient for every time of need. And oh God, we pray today that thou wilt bless our coming together here in thy house. Father, we do confess our sins before thee. We pray for that fresh cleansing in the Savior's precious atoning blood. We pray, O God, that thou wilt prepare our hearts this day to meet with thee, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, O God. Grant, Heavenly Father, that the thoughts of our heart and the words, O God, of our lips, that they would be acceptable, O God, in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all who have been able to come to thy house today. Bless every head bowed before thee, O God. And do remember every child of God in this meeting house. Bless your people. Encourage and strengthen thy people. Help us to die more and more to self, to sin. Help us to live more unto Christ, to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ our Savior. For those in our gathering that through times of trial or difficulty, carrying burdens perhaps we know nothing about, we pray that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt help them, O God, to cast every care and burden upon the Lord. For thou hast promised to sustain thy people. Others needing a word of guidance, show them and teach them thy will, O God, for their lives. And for any, Lord, that are maybe wandering afar off from God, maybe seeking to go into bypass meadow, we pray that thou wilt hedge up their way and that thou wilt lead them and guide them in the center of thy will and in the paths of righteousness, we ask. And Father, for any in our gathering today and they know not the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Savior, they have not that personal relationship of saving faith in Christ, Lord, do speak to them today, O Lord. And Father, we pray that even today they might come in faith, in simple childlike faith, and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and know the wonderful joy of sins forgiven, peace with God, and the assurance of eternal life and a home in heaven. Remember, Lord, those that are unable to join with us today because of age or sickness or infirmity, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them and minister to them by the goodness and by the grace of God. For others who've suffered loss in recent times, comfort their hearts, we pray. Fill the vacant chair with the presence of the Lord and be their helper in every time of need, we ask. Father, we thank thee for our Sabbath school and Bible class this morning. Bless the ministry of thy word to our children, to our young people. Bless the work in the Youth Fellowship and in the Bethel Children's Crusade and the online ministry and the ongoing outreach, Lord, from this church in various forms. Bless every aspect of it. Use it, Lord, in this corner of thy vineyard to the saving of souls, to the building up of the cause of Christ, the strengthening of thy kingdom in this part of thy vineyard, we pray. And Lord, we ask this day that thou would bless in like fashion all our sister congregations today. Remember, wherever thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed, we pray that thou would own and bless it and use it for the furtherance of thy kingdom. Bless the seed sown in the radio this morning, Lord. We thank thee for that broadcast. We pray that thou would bless it and speak on, even while the voice of man is silent, even to the saving of souls and the blessing of the saints of God. Remember our land for good and all of its need at this time. Father, we pray for seasons of revival and reformation from our God, we pray. We pray for our missionaries today at labor at home and labor abroad. Bless them and be with them. We pray for thy people, especially today in the land of Ukraine. Grant them peace and protection. And grant peace to that land again, we pray. And drive out the aggressor, we ask of thee. And Lord, protect the witness of thy people and thy church there, especially at this time. We pray for our king and our royal family. Lord, have mercy upon them. Comfort their hearts. And we pray, Lord, that they might turn, O God, to thee in faith. And know the wonderful joy of thy so great salvation in their hearts and lives and souls. Remember, Lord, those that rule over us in our land and in our nation. O Lord, we pray that they would rule in righteousness and in the fear of God and in accordance with thy word, and that there might be that turning unto thee, even in the government of our land. Bless us now, we pray, as we further praise thy name, as we read thy word, as we preach thy word. I pour thy spirit upon every heart and glorify the Savior's name. Remember us around thy table later on, we pray, as we remember what Christ has done for us at the cross of Calvary. May our hearts and souls be melted. May we be quickened afresh by thy grace out after Christ. And may we have a season of blessing and reviving as we remember what Christ has done for us when he suffered and bled and died for guilty sinners. Abide with us now, we pray. Do every heart much good, and continue thy presence and grace and blessing upon this meeting. We ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 67. The hymn number 67 in your hymn book. You'll find it on the page 202. Take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. The hymn number 67 on the page 202, standing as we sing. Your Bible with you this morning, would ask you to turn, please, to the Old Testament book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 37. And we're reading just from the verse 12 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 27. Reading Genesis chapter 37, reading then from verse 12 down to the end of verse 17 of the chapter. And then we're turning over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, in the middle of the Old Testament, a reading from verses 9 through to 16. So if you'd like to mark those two passages, Genesis 37 and the verse number 12, and then Psalm 119, beginning our reading at the verse number 9. Let us hear God's word reading, first of all, from Genesis 37 and the verse number 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel, that's another title for Jacob, said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with thy flocks. And bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. A certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. The man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed thence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And then turning over to Psalm 119, and the verse number 1, or verse number 9 of the Psalm. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Amen. Ending our reading there at verse number 16. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. Good to see so many gathered with us today. And we pray the Lord will richly bless you as you gather with us today around God's word. If you're visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home. If you're a child of God today, may you be strengthened in your walk with God. And if you know not Christ today as Savior, even today may you come and put your faith and trust in him as your own and personal Savior. Also welcome those who may be viewing online. We thank you for joining with us and pray the Lord will bless you and minister to your needs by his grace and through his word. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, immediately after the service this morning is the Lord's table. And the Lord's table is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you know and love the Lord as your Savior, you have that personal faith and trust in Christ for salvation, then the Lord invites you to remember his death in his own appointed way. And we trust in as many as possible able to stay behind and remember what Christ has done for us on the cross. The evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30, do remember that, and that'll be followed at 7 p.m. by our gospel service. I belong to minister God's word, and tonight we'll be speaking on the special subject, why we can have no ecclesiastical fellowship with the Roman Catholic Church. So do remember, that's a very important subject and topic. I pray for that and make it known, and do all you can to invite and to encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Also today, being the first Sunday of the month, is our building fund offering. Do remember that, please. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We commend that to every believer. Trust as many as possible will gather, and we belong to bring God's word. And then that will be followed at 9:30 by a short meeting of the church committee. I'd ask the brethren of committee just to remember that, Tuesday night, 9:30. Bethel Children's Crusades meetings each night at 6:30. Tresna Tuesday night, Thursday Maguire's Bridge, Friday here in Bethel. Friday night, 8 p.m., our youth fellowship meeting open to all young people. Encourage as many as possible to come. And our brother, Mr. Richard Edwards, will be bringing God's Word. Also this Friday night at 8 p.m. is our monthly presbytery meeting over in our Cross Gower congregation. Saturday morning, 11 a.m., is the monthly open-air gospel witness at the Diamond in Enniskillen. Pray for that. And if you're in the town shopping, do join with us for that half hour in the open air. That's 11 a.m. at the Diamond. Next Lord's Day, the 9th of October, Sabbath school and Bible class, 11 a.m. Morning worship service, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. I belong to bring God's Word. And at the evening meeting, our brother, Mr. Nigel Davidson from Macrofelt, will belong to minister in song. Do remember, please, our Harvest Thanksgiving services. There are wee invitation cards for those services out on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those, give them out. Be much in prayer for those meetings and do all you can to invite others in. The Lord's Day, the 16th of October, guest preacher in the morning, 12 noon, the Reverend Leslie Curran. The evening service at 7 p.m., the guest preacher, the Reverend John Woods. And then Monday night, at the 17th of October at 8 p.m., the guest preacher, the Reverend Daniel Henderson. And then on the Monday night, there'll be Harvest Supper for all. So I'd ask the ladies just to remember that and bring whatever you feel necessary for the supper on the Monday evening. So that's an added bonus for you if you come on the Monday evening. The church will be open for decorating on the Friday night, the 14th of October, 7:30. It also can be open as well on the Saturday, the 15th, and all ladies are welcome to help with this work. Then do also remember, please, our 50th anniversary gospel mission. Again, there's invites for that as well out on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take these and give them out. And that will be from the 23rd to the 30th of October for 1 week, Lord's Day, 7 p.m., weeknights, 8 p.m. The guest evangelist the first Sunday night, the Reverend Gordon Ferguson, the weeknights, Reverend Fred Greenfield, and the final Lord's Day evening, the Reverend Gordon Dee. And be much in prayer for that. Make it known. We have 1,000 invites to give out for that. And we want to make a special effort to visit around the homes here, around the church the week beforehand. That's from Monday the 17th of October through to Thursday the 20th of October, meeting here each afternoon in the church car park at 2 p.m. for an hour and a half or so. I know it doesn't maybe suit everybody with people with employment, but if you're free any of those afternoons, do come along. It's just a matter of giving out the wee invite letter, boxing it into the homes around there, and be much in prayer for that, please. And also value your prayers as we speak this afternoon at an apprentice boys service down in Aroma Church. Can also just draw your attention to the Sunday School shoebox appeal. I had that last year and there was a very good response to that. There are wee leaflets for that. You'll find that out on the table in the porch. And all shoeboxes are to be returned by the end of October. So remember that also, please. Can I also just mention one other meeting? This is to do with the Trinitarian Bible Society, and that is on Wednesday the 9th of November from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., and that is in the Vic Rynne Conference Centre on Lisburn on the Moira Road. The speakers are Pastor Christian McSheafrey from Wisconsin, and then Pastor Puyan Marishai from Providence Chapel in Cheltenham. We commend those meetings to you. It mightn't suit everybody. It'll be a very good conference. And there's admission is free, lunch is provided. But if you are going, you are to book for catering purposes. But there's a leaflet for that. I leave it out on the table in the porch, and we commend that to you. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to the hymn number 371. 371 on the page 326, My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Saviour art Thou. If ever I loved Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. We'll just keep our seats for the opening part of this hymn. We don't take up an offering during the service. The offering plates are at the rear. Do remember that as you leave. But we'll just remain seated for the early part of this wonderful old hymn, 371. turn to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, please, to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. With God's Word open before us, let us bow together, please, just in a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence, the singing of Thy praises, the reading of Thy precious truth. And Lord, now as we come to consider Thy Word and Thy truth, draw very near. We pray for the help and the guidance, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, You have promised that when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. And He will take and show you the things of Christ. And oh Lord, may we behold Christ today in the sacred page. May Thy Word be used to the building up of believers in their faith. May it be used, O God, to the saving of the unsaved, we ask. And may it be used to the glorifying of Christ. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon hearer. Like, give help now, we pray. In the remaining part of this meeting, we ask. For Jesus' sake and glory, we pray. Amen. Our text today is really Genesis chapter 37 and the verse number 13. Genesis chapter 37 and the verse number 13. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. Now, to date in our studies on the life of Joseph, as we've looked at Joseph, we've seen his godly testimony, and we've noted that he was a young man who was greatly blessed of the Lord. Indeed, the Bible says, for the Lord will bless the righteous. Well, today I want us to look at the work that Joseph was given to do by his father, Jacob. Joseph's brothers were now some 60 miles from home. They had gone to the place of Shechem to find pasture for their father's flock. And Jacob, their father, he wanted to know how they were doing. And he wanted to know that what they were doing also. So he sends Joseph on an errand to find them. And this was the work that the father gave Joseph to do. Look at verse 13, our text. It says, and Israel, that's another title for Jacob, said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And there you see how, in obedience to his father's wish, Joseph sets off to find his brothers. Now, in this work of Joseph at this particular time, there are many important lessons for God's people. As they would seek to serve the Lord, their heavenly Father, here on earth. In the New Testament book of Romans, Paul is commenting on what is written in the Old Testament. And he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And you see, God has given the Bible to show His people, those who are saved, those who are born again Christians. He has given the Bible to show how they are to live for Him in this ungodly world. And we see this in the examples of the lives of many of God's servants that are recorded for us in the Scriptures. And my Joseph is but one of these great examples. Therefore, today, as we would consider the work that Joseph was given to do, believer in Christ in this meeting today, may you be encouraged. May you be inspired in your own personal service and witness for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, with me today, the motives for Joseph's work. The motives for Joseph's work. What were those motives? Well, we can say that the good of Joseph's brothers was one particular motive for this work. You look at what his father Jacob says to him in verse 13 and in verse 14 of the chapter. He says, come, I will send thee unto them and see whether it be well with thy brethren. Notice this word, see whether it will be well with thy brethren. And there you see how Jacob was concerned about his sons going in particular to this place called Shechem. Back in Genesis chapter 34, we're told something there about this place, Shechem. And it was a place that was marked by sin, a place that was marked by evil,
by immorality, by sorrow, and indeed by bloodshedding. In fact, God himself had told Jacob to leave that particular place, to get out of it, and to go and dwell in the place called Bethel. In Genesis 35, in the verse number 1, God there is speaking to Jacob about this, and he says, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God." And God specifically told Jacob to leave Shechem, to go to Bethel, to live there, to abide there, and to worship God there. But sadly, we see from our text and from the passage of Scripture before us this morning that Jacob's sons, they go back to this place called Shechem. And that teaches us something about the heart of the sons of Joseph. It shows that their heart, that in their hearts there was still a love for sin and that which is evil and contrary to God. Thus they go back to this particular place called Shechem that God told Jacob and his family to leave on a prior occasion. People, can I say, it is always a bad spiritual sign whenever previously enlightened people go back into the world. Child of God, can I say in all of this, my, there's a warning here for you and I, and as Christians it is this: we are not to follow the example of Joseph's brothers. We are not to go back to the ways of this ungodly world. You remember the words of Christ to his people in the Gospel of Luke. He says, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Again, in the book of Hebrews, the Lord says there, "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And my, when God's people, professing believers, go back into the world, it grieves the Lord, their God and their Savior. Child of God, our response to this ungodly world is to heed the words of Paul to Timothy. And he said, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." We are not to be entangled with this evil and ungodly world. The hymn writer says, "Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, believer." This is to be our constant attitude to the evil ways of this ungodly world that we find ourselves in. Yes, there was the good of Joseph's brothers, but then there was another motive, and that was the good of Jacob's sheep themselves. Look again at what Jacob said to Joseph in verse 14 of the chapter. He says, "See whether it be well with the flocks." And there we see that Jacob himself was concerned about the sheep, his own flocks, these flocks that God had given to him. And in like manner, believer, you and I also are to be concerned about the blessings that God gives to us graciously in this world, in this life. As Christians, yes, we are to look after our temporal blessings. The Bible says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds." And what God gives us graciously in life, we're to care for, we're to be concerned about. And then also we are to be concerned about our spiritual blessings that God has given to us. The Bible says to you and I who received, it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." That means we must guard and protect the spiritual blessings that God gives to us in Christ. Believer, can I say, yes, we have a particular responsibility to safeguard our spiritual blessings and to pass on our spiritual blessings, especially to the next generation. And how important it is that we teach the children, the young people, the gospel and the things of God. Turn in your Bible over to Psalm number 78 and you'll see this truth outlined for you in that Psalm 78. Look at verses 4 to right down to verse number 7. And here the psalmist is speaking of God's instruction for him and the people of God regarding passing on their spiritual blessings, if you like, passing on the spiritual baton to the children, the young people. Psalm 78, verse 4, it says, "We will not hide them from the children." That's the great truths of God, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Notice the command of God to the fathers to make known to the children the things of God. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. O child of God, believer in our meeting, there you see how it is our duty to the up-and-coming generation to tell them, to teach them the gospel, the ways of God, the great truths of the Scriptures. And when you think about that, there you see the importance of Sunday school work, the importance of youth fellowship work, the importance of children's work, the importance of Christian education, indeed child evangelism in a wider capacity in the community. How important these things are to set before the children, the young people, the next generation, the ways of God, the truths of God's Word. Yes, there was the motive of Joseph's brothers. There was the motive of Jacob's own sheep for going on this errand. But you'll notice another motive here as well that pertained to Joseph. There was the good of Joseph's father as well. That was another motive in him going on this errand and doing this work. Jacob was now an old man. Therefore, it was difficult for him to go and to see the other sons at this particular time. Thus, out of concern and no doubt love for his father, Joseph was willing to go instead. Look again at what Jacob says to him and Joseph's response in verse 13. Jacob said, "Come, and I will send thee unto them." And notice Joseph's response. It says, "And he said to him, Here am I." He went in the father's place to see how the sons were getting on. And this response here of Joseph, it shows that he had respect, he had honor for his earthly father, Jacob, who was now older and infirm in years. Young people, boys and girls in the meeting this morning, can I say there's a very important lesson here. And it is this, young people, boys and girls, it is right, it is scriptural, it is godly, that you honor, that you respect, that you obey your parents. Indeed, whenever your parents ask you to do something that is right or proper, or whenever your parents ask you not to do something that is wrong, you're not to disobey and shrug your shoulders and do your own thing. Rather, you are to obey your parents. That's the fifth commandment. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long in the earth." Children, young people, this is what you're commanded to do by God. To honor your parents, to respect your parents. When they ask you to do something, obey them. When they ask you to refrain from doing something that is wrong, obey them. Last Sabbath evening, our brother Alan Copeland was with us giving a word of testimony. And he told us how as a young man, as a young boy, unsaved, he broke his mother's heart, caused much grief to her and the home and the family because of his disrespect and his dishonoring of his parents and their wishes for him. And that's a lesson for us all, to honor and respect our parents. And people of God, no matter how old we are, no matter how old our parents are, we're to show them respect. And indeed, we're to do all we can to help them and encourage them in the latter years of their life. That is something that is right and good and scriptural. This is what we see here in Joseph. He had respect, he had honor to his father, Jacob. And then there was another motive as well in this errand of Joseph, and that was the good of Joseph himself. Remember, Joseph was the one who wore the coat of many colors. He was the one who was set apart as leader, as overseer in the family. Therefore, this work of going to check on his brothers and his father's sheep, it was good training for Joseph as a young man, as an overseer, as one who had responsibility in the family home and in the family circle. He was willing to do this errand, and it was good for him to do it. And people, this reminds us all of the importance of diligence. Indeed, of being a hard worker. My, this is an age of ease and indulgence when many people who can work are not willing to work. Well, what does the fourth commandment say to you and I? It says, 6 days shalt thou labor. We are to work. We are to labor. We are to toil. The old-fashioned Protestant worth ethic was a hard day's work and an honest day's work. And again, young people in particular in the meeting house today, be it at school, be it at university, further education, or when you go out into employment, do not shy away from hard work and honest toil. Do not waste the talents that the Lord gives you and gives you to use in life. The Bible says it is good for a man that he bear his yoke in the youth, and it's good to work hard. And to be honest and hardworking in our day-to-day living and working. You remember Andrew and his brother Simon Peter, whom the Lord called to be his disciples. What were they doing when the Lord called them? They were fishing. They were working. They were workers. Think again of James and John, when they too were called by the Lord to be his disciples. What were James and John doing? They were mending their nets. They were working. They were at their vocation in life. Think of Matthew when the Lord saved him and called him to be a disciple. What was Matthew doing? The Bible says he was sitting at the receipt of custom. He was in his workplace, working hard, and the Lord called him to be his disciple and to be a follower of the Lord. And my, there's a lesson there for us all in this age in which we live, to be hardworking, to be honest in our work and toil. And my, it is something that God desires, and it is God's will for us and for his people. Yes, we see the motives here in Joseph's errand to go and find his brothers. But not only the motives in this errand. Notice secondly here the qualifications for Joseph's work. What were the qualifications in the life of Joseph himself regarding this work? Well, you see that there was the qualification of submission. For whenever he was asked to go and to check on his brothers and the flocks, look at his response there. At the end of verse 13, our text, he says, "Here am I." Underline those words in your Bible. "Here am I." He was submissive to the Father's will. Is this not a picture of Christ, our Savior, dear people? Is this not how it was with the Lord Jesus Christ when God the Father sent him into this world, a sin-cursed world, to die on the cross for our sins and to be our Savior? Speaking of that particular errand in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, Christ says, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." And Christ was ever submissive, perfectly submissive to the Father's will. You think today of a good soldier. What makes a good soldier in the regiment, on the front line, in the battlefield? It is this. He takes orders. He is submissive to his commanding officer in the field of battle. Well, believer, if you and I are to be good soldiers for Christ, we must ever be submissive to God, to God's word, God's will for our lives. In the book of James, it says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." My response to God's work and word and will for life ought ever to be like this young man, Joseph, who said, "Here am I." Christian, is God asking you to do something for him? Is he calling you to do some particular service for him? May you respond submissively, following even the example of Joseph in our text, and say to the Lord, "Here am I." Yes, there was the qualification of submission. Notice something else. There was the qualification here of sacrifice. You see, to leave his home and to go to Shechem, it was a distance of some 60 miles. On a journey like this on foot, it meant sacrifice. It meant hardship. It meant time. It meant inconvenience. Yet this did not deter. This did not hold back Joseph from saying to his father, "Here am I, I'm willing to go and to do this task." There was sacrifice involved. And again, is there not here a glorious picture of Christ our Savior? Yes, in this we see a wonderful picture of Christ who willingly left the glories and the splendors of heaven, who willingly came into this sin-cursed world and willingly went to the cross of Calvary, of ignominy and shame, to bleed and die as a sacrifice for guilty sinners like you and I upon the cross. The Bible says of Christ that Christ died for our sins. It says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Turning your Bible over to 2 Corinthians and the chapter number 8 and the verse number 9. Notice here how Paul makes reference here to Christ's sacrifice on the cross. 2 Corinthians 8 and the verse 9, he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich." And we talk here about the poverty of Christ. He's referring specifically to the death, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Unsee a friend in our meeting this morning, can I say this? It is by faith alone and the sacrifice and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ alone that you, a sinner, can be saved from your sins, made right with God and made sure of heaven. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Are you concerned today about your soul, about your sin, about what's going to happen to you one moment after you die and leave this world? Friend, that concern can be met by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in a sacrifice alone for your salvation. You remember the words of John the Baptist when he spake of Christ. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." When he talks about Christ, the Lamb of God, he's speaking about the blood, the sacrifice, the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And if the burden of their sins was to be taken away, they had to trust in Christ. Dear friend, unsaved man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting, if the burden of your sin is to be taken away and dealt with, you too must put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. You must have a personal saving relationship, saving faith and trust in Christ. The Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" If you neglect Christ, if you turn away from Christ and do not trust him, even though you might appear religious outwardly in your life, there can be no hope of salvation for you, no pardon for sin, no peace with God, no home in heaven. You must trust in the sacrifice of Christ alone for salvation. Also, child of God, when you and I think, yes, of the sacrifice that Christ made for us upon the cross, then surely we should count no sacrifice too great for the good of God's work, be it here in Bethel or further afield as the Lord leads us in our life. My, we should count no sacrifice too great to make and reaching others with the gospel. Think of the harvest meetings coming up, the mission in a few weeks' time. Let us go the second mile over these next few weeks in prayer for these meetings and doing what we can to witness, to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me." You think of the words of Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer, when he reflected upon Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross, he penned these great words. He said, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, if that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." It was the qualification of submission, the qualification of sacrifice. Notice something else here regarding Joseph. There was also the qualification of steadfastness. You see, at first, Joseph could not find his brothers at Shechem, but he kept on until he found them at a place called Dothan. Look at verses 15, 16, and 17 of the chapter. It says, "And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed thence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dotham." And Joseph, notice it, went after his brethren, and he found them in Dotham. Initially, you see there how Joseph encountered problems in his search for his brothers, but that does not stop him from doing the Father's will and going on till Dotham, until he seeks them out, until he finds them. And again, in this we see a glorious picture of Christ, our Savior. Think, dear people of Christ, here on earth, he encountered problems. Even though he went about doing good, he encountered opposition. He encountered the rejection of sinful man, but he allowed nothing or no one to stop him from going to the cross. Remember when the authorities apprehended him, even his own disciple, Peter drew the sword and was seeking to defend the Lord. And the Lord told him to put away his sword, that if he wanted to, he could call down 10,000 angels to guard him and to protect him. But no, Christ allowed nothing or no one, even those who were closest to him, did not allow them to stop him from going to the cross and doing his Father's will. He was steadfast in that work. He could say in the Gospel of John, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And likewise, believer, I say to you this morning, whatever happens you and I in life, we are to be steadfast in the work of God that God has given us to do. The Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." You think of the little birds in the springtime when they begin to build their nest. Yes, there's wind, there's rain, there's storms and all the rest. But those birds, they keep at it until the nest is finished, until the nest is complete, until it is ready for them to lay their eggs and to rear the young. May they're steadfast until the work is done. And believer, I say to you this morning, whatever the discouragements are in life, whatever the problems are in life, keep serving the Lord. Keep living for Christ until the Lord comes or calls you home to glory. Follow the example of Joseph. Follow the example of Christ, who said, "My meat is to finish the work that God has given me to do." And then notice one final qualification in this man, Joseph. Notice there was also the qualification of courage. The qualification of courage. You see what it says there at the end of verse number 14. It's very important, very significant. It says of Jacob, "So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem." Notice the mention there of Hebron. And the meaning of that place, Hebron, is very important. It's very significant. It means the place of fellowship, the place of warmth, the place of love. And that's what it was like for Joseph at home with his father. But now he's leaving that place of love, that place of warmth and fellowship. And he's going to this place, Shechem, to find his brothers. And you know, he knew what his brothers were like. We already have mentioned that on a previous occasion. His brothers, they hated him. He knew he was going to face hatred and malice from those who had no time for him. But on he went on this errand, and that required courage. It required strength. Indeed, in going to find his brothers also, he was wearing the coat of many colors that his father had given him. And we see this from what is said in verse 23 of the chapter. Notice there what it says. It says, "It came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him." And that coat was very significant. He wore that coat and it made him stand out from the crowd, stand out from others, stand apart from others. And again, that required courage, as his brothers saw Joseph coming toward him wearing the coat of many colors. They knew this was the father's favorite who was coming toward them. But Joseph was bold. Joseph was courageous in doing his father's errand, doing his father's business. And Christian, can I say to you this morning, and living for Christ in this world and living a life that glorifies God, that is different from the ungodly, It requires courage. And praise God, the Lord can give you, believer, strength and grace and courage to live for Him, no matter where you are, no matter what the circumstance is that God in His providence places you in. You remember the Lord's counsel to young Timothy, a young man starting out in the Christian life. He was fearful, but God encouraged him through his servant, Paul, and he said, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, there's strength and grace for you to be bold and courage for the Lord in your life." Likewise, Christian, there's grace for you to be courageous and strong for God in this ungodly world. Turn over there to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Look with me, please, at verse number 6. And this was God's word to Israel when they were on the verge of entering into the promised land. And there was changes. They had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. No doubt there was fear, there was apprehension. Look at the word that the Lord gave to His people through His servant Moses. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 31. He says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake." And this was one of the reasons why Joseph was so bold and so courageous. He knew the Lord was with him. We'll see that on a future date. But child of God, as you seek to live for Christ in your home, in your workplace, in your community, be strong for the Lord, be bold for the Lord, be courageous for the Lord. Why? Look at that promise there in Deuteronomy. "For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake." And dear believer, by prayer, by seeking God, by seeking the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you and I can be courageous for God in this ungodly world. Christ says to His people, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" The Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Child of God, God has grace to dispel all your fears and help you be bold and courageous for Him. You remember the words of the hymn writer. The hymn writer says, "Courage, brother, do not stumble. Though the path be dark as night, there's a star to guide the humble. Trust in God and do the right." Oh, by God's grace, may that be our testimony, as it was with this young man, Joseph. Let us bow together, please, in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us today around Thy Word. Bless Thy Word and bless Thy truth to our hearts. Even these lessons that we've learned from Joseph, write them not just upon our minds, but upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. And by Thy Spirit and by Thy grace and by Thy power in our lives, help us to live them out day by day to the glory of God. And for any, Lord, in this gathering today, and they're a stranger to Christ, they're a stranger to God, they're still on that broad road to a lost eternity, speak to them especially, Lord, we pray. And even today, may they choose Christ and trust Him and follow Him. May there be no turning back, but living for Him, living for His glory. Bless us around the table of the Lord. Bless all those who stay. And for any who cannot stay, we pray that Thou will give them traveling mercies. Bless them throughout this day and return us again in Thy will this evening hour. We pray, we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory and praise. Amen and amen. We're going to turn, please, in our hymn book for our closing hymn this morning, or this afternoon rather. It is the hymn number 478. 478 on the page 368. "Saviour, Thy dying love Thou givest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from Thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring Thee now, something for Thee." It must be the prayer of all our hearts today who know and love the Lord as Savior. We'll stand as we sing this old hymn. After the singing of the first verse, I'll be going to the door. And if you cannot stay for the Lord's table, feel free to leave. I'll be there to greet you as you leave. But we would encourage as many as possible
to stay behind and to remember the Lord's death in his own appointed way. 478 standing as we sing.